From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Spain's government has reacted aggressively to the October 1st independence vote by Catalonia. Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy's government has dissolved the Catalan parliament, dismissed separatist leaders, and prosecuted them for rebellion. While a number of leaders, including former Catalan President Carles Puigdemont, were reported to have fled to Belgium to escape charges, it is now not clear what their next move will be. Rajoy has called for new regional elections on December 21st to form a new government in Catalonia. My guest is Sebastian Farber. He is a professor of Hispanic Studies at Oberlin College, author of the forthcoming Memory Battles and the Spanish Civil War. And we had spoken to him in early October after the initial vote in Catalonia. Welcome back to the program, Sebastian.
Absolutely.
So first, let's talk about Puigdemont's reaction to the Spanish government's actions. Some in Catalonia have criticized him for not pushing back aggressively enough, for not standing firm enough for Catalonians and the independence vote. What do you think?
Well, he's fled, or he's in any case moved to Belgium for the time being. It's not quite clear exactly why or how. At first, there was some word that he was going to request political asylum. That seems not to be happening. He himself gave a press conference yesterday at which he said that he decided to take it to Brussels, which is the center of the European Union, to in an attempt to underscore that the Catalan problem is really a European problem. As to his not pushing back hard enough against the Madrid decision to basically revoke Catalan self-government, I think one could say he has left his people in the lurch by leaving Catalonia. On the other hand, I think it was likely smart of him and of his government not to invite or push their supporters to, for example, take to the streets or engage in acts of civil disobedience. As far as public servants are concerned, for example, any public servant who would have returned to work yesterday, Monday, or in other ways defied Article 155, which is the article of the Spanish Constitution that justifies the takeover of the Catalan government by Madrid, any public official defying that order would have faced severe consequences, personal consequences, including fines, including professional sanctions, or even arrest. So I think Puigdemont's not calling for broad civil resistance in a direct way, I think was a good move. The elections have been called for December 21st, and so far all major political parties in Catalonia have expressed doubts about the legitimacy of those elections, at the same time that all of them have pretty much said they will participate in the elections. So it looks like the intervention of Catalan self-government will indeed be limited, will indeed last, so at least it seems, until those December 21st elections, at which time a new parliament will be elected. It looks like those elections will occur more or less normally. I say more or less normally because the one thing that is not clear at all is to what extent the judicial measures that are being put into place now, so the accusations of rebellion and sedition formulated yesterday by Spain's Attorney General, will affect the elections. If it comes to arrests of party leaders, of further imprisonments of party leaders, then of course it's going to be very hard to argue that these elections are proceeding normally, because of course it's not normal in any election.
But wouldn't any prosecution? I mean, if they're literally prosecuting they're being called the separatist leaders now. Don't those prosecutions come with penalties? I mean, otherwise they would be empty gestures.
Well, I mean, so far they're indictments, right? So the Attorney General has announced that he will prepare an indictment, an accusation of rebellion and sedition. not only of the president, but also of the, for example, the presiding committee of the Catalan Parliament and a number of heads of departments in the Catalan government. It's up to the judiciary to weigh the merit of that accusation and then to determine what, if any, kind of preventative punishment or any kind would be in order, right? So it's not said that this will happen at all. But while Madrid's intervention is generally lauded as being fairly measured, that is to say, rather than, for example, overtaking the Catalan government for 6 months, they said, no, we'll call elections at the first available date, which is December 21st. So while the relative restraint of Madrid has been lauded, the fact that it at the same time is initiating these criminal procedures leave, I think, a sense that the process is being poisoned or skewed by at least the threat of further sanctions.
Saying that their reaction was actually measured, that they could have Spain could have used its authority to simply take over the Catalan government, but because it's choosing to hold regional elections December 21st, it's sort of offering Catalonians a little bit more return to democratic control?
The takeover of the government is a fact. The fact that the parliament has been dissolved makes the takeover slightly less severe in the sense that a dissolution of a parliament once elections have been called is a normal thing to happen. So while it is true that the Madrid government currently controls and is the de facto government in Catalonia, it is so really, strictly speaking, on an ad interim basis in the same way that a government would remain governing while new elections are being prepared, but that the powers of the government are limited, are smaller than those of a regular government. And that is now the case in Catalonia. Why did Madrid restrain itself in this way? I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that Madrid learned a lesson from October 1. When we last spoke, it was a couple of days after October 1, where there was a referendum to which the Madrid government reacted very harshly, sending thousands of police that ended up trying to prevent millions of people from voting in a violent way. That was a big defeat for Madrid in PR terms. And Madrid learned its lesson, knew that another kind of action of that kind would not look good internationally. So it's showing currently its more restrained side. Like I said, though, signals from Madrid beyond or alongside this apparent restraint signal that the threat behind it is still fairly severe and runs the risk of seriously interfering with the election process in Catalonia. And also, I would say, infringing on constitutional rights of Catalan citizens. And when I say that, what I mean is that to be in favor of a republican form of government or to be in favor of independence for Catalonia are legitimate political positions to take. Those fall under freedom of expression and freedom of political ideas. Even though it is currently not legal in Spain to declare independence for any region because the Spanish constitution doesn't allow for it, that doesn't mean that advocating for it is illegal. So there's now a way in which the Madrid government is hinting, is further judicializing the electoral process by pushing a narrative that would make it seem illegal to present oneself for elections on the basis of a pro-independence agenda. So, and this is not currently the official line from the Madrid government, but spokespeople from the Partido Popular, from the governing party in Madrid, have hinted that as far as they are concerned, maybe all political parties who advocate for independence should be perhaps illegalized.
So that's certainly a threat to democratic right of Catalonians. Now, what about those leaders in Catalonia that are, or right now there are many in Belgium, facing these charges? Do the criminal indictments against them make them them specifically ineligible to run for the December 21st elections, or can they still continue to present themselves as potential members of a new parliament?
That all depends on how these criminal charges develop.
But the timeline is really tight, so the criminal charges could take a lot longer to develop before, you know, and that might happen on a longer timescale than the elections themselves, right?
That is true. The Spanish judiciary is notoriously slow, at the same time that it's proven that it can be amazingly fast when it is politically convenient. So it's completely unclear how this will develop. Generally speaking, constitutional and legal experts say that the charge of rebellion specifically will be very hard to hold up in court, because as defined by the Spanish legal code, rebellion has to be violent in order to count as rebellion. And the protests so far, or the independence movement so far in Catalonia, has been remarkably pacific. So it's unclear whether those charges will hold up. That said, it's clear yet again that the Spanish central government is, rather than finding a political solution, is letting the judiciary doing the hard work of trying to get beyond this problem. In my view, there is no judicial solution to this problem, because even if you indict and try and convict all the leaders of the independence movement, the fact that 2-point-something Catalanes, between 2 and 3 million Catalanes, do not currently feel that the Spanish state is their legitimate state is not going to go away.
Right. Let's talk about that polarization within Catalonia itself. There was a new poll recently by El Mundo that said any elections in December could be very close. Anti-independence parties have 43.4% support and pro-independence parties 42.5% support. So just barely a percentage point difference between them, which you might imagine is within the noise. They are running close to one another. And is this a difference? Is this poll pointing to any shift in attitudes toward independence among Catalonians? Is there sort of independence fatigue, if you will?
I think there may be independence fatigue, in the sense there may be some sense of disenchantment with the leadership, with the political leadership that has been leading the independence movement. I do not think there's any real sense, any lack, any less support for independence, or more importantly, any less disenchantment with the Spanish state. I think the actions of the Spanish state so far, from October 1 all the way to now, have further offended those Catalans who strongly believe in their own identity, in their right to self-government, in their right to self-determination, and perhaps in their right to independence. I think the percentages you cite indicate that the split is almost 50-50. It's right down the middle. When elections happen on December 21st, it may be likely that, despite the even division between pro-independence and against independence support, that the pro-independence parties yet again end up with a majority of seats in parliament, just because, given the electoral system in Spain, rural areas have more weight when it comes to seats, just like in the United States is sometimes the case, than urban areas. And in rural areas, support for independence is greater than in the urban areas. So it could well be that the elections on December 21st do not really yield a very different picture in the Catalan parliament than what we have now, which in some way would mean we're back at square one. And like in Groundhog Day, the whole process can start over again.
Right. I mean, this is the issue, right? Because if you are committed to democracy, a desire for independence eventually will have to be respected, or you have to undermine democracy and apply a little bit of a dictatorial heavy hand. there, you really can't have it both ways. I mean, I suppose you can take on some propaganda effort to simply convince people that staying within a single Spain is better for them, or even offer some concessions. Some might see it as a form of a bribe to remain, to quash one's independence desires in exchange for some sort of privileges for remaining within Spain. But this is an issue facing many parts of Europe, isn't it, Sebastian? I mean, and of course, this is what the Spanish government and many European governments are afraid of, that if Catalonia were to succeed, there are a quite large number of independence battles taking place around Europe.
Yeah, there are. I think the extremely conservative attitude that the European Union has adopted toward the Catalan crisis or the Spanish crisis shows this fear. Like, they don't want to let any cats out of the bag, basically. Just going back to what happens if the Catalan parliament stays more or less the same. So what happens, like you say, if democracy works, right? If the parliament ends up reflecting the fact that still a large section of Catalonia is in favor of independence, while about a similar portion is against it. The one thing that might be different, and this is going to play out in the next days or really in the next week, because coalitions will have to be announced by November 7th. What could happen is that even though every party will more or less gain the same number of seats it has now, it could be that the partnerships change. It's already clear that the coalition that presented itself as such to the last regional elections 2015, Together for Yes, which was this kind of strange coalition of the center-right party with the left Republicans and the extreme left CUP. That coalition is not going to repeat itself. And that opens the door to other forms of alliances. The party founded by the current mayor of Barcelona, Ada Colau, whose Catalunya-wide leader is Xavier Domènech, has always said that they're in favor of self-determination through a binding referendum, and they're not in favor either of unilateral independence or of Madrid taking over Catalan government. There could be room for that group, the Commons, Els Comuns, to ally itself in some way with perhaps the left Republicans. This is completely—it's completely up in the air. Nothing is clear yet. But changing coalitions around different rallying points that are maybe not straight up independence like it was last time, but perhaps just a defense of the republic or a defense of self-determination, could shift what the relation of power in the Catalan parliament actually mean and who gets to form a government.
So basically, they might be able to keep alive hopes for independence while keeping Spain intact and avoiding another crisis, which would again reflect exactly the state of affairs for many years before the vote took place. Well, I want to thank you so much, Sebastian, for joining us today. We'll keep our eye on this story and hope to have you back on our show. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
My guest has been Sebastian Faber. He's a professor of Hispanic Studies at Oberlin College and author of the forthcoming Memory Battles in the Spanish Civil War. We've been discussing what's next in the Catalan independence movement. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.